Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, July 10th. And hey, a win in Las Vegas. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, a Pistons follower my whole life, like many of you, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today, we're going to be giving a little bit of a rundown of Monday's win against the New Orleans Pelicans in game number three of Las Vegas Summer League action for the Detroit Pistons. Talk about the highlights. They're also going to be talking today to James Edwards III, not Buddha, but the Pistons beat writer for the Athletic website, who was gracious enough to join us from McCarran Airport in Las Vegas as he was heading away from Sin City and sounded a little tired, as he should be, after his first week ever at Summer League, not only just at Summer League, but also his first week in Las Vegas. So hopefully James maximized the amount of fun he had with the amount of work he had to do and had an enjoyable experience. And hopefully next time he gets to go to Vegas, maybe there won't be so much work to be done. But the Pistons got their first win of the Las Vegas Summer League on Monday afternoon after dropping their first two games. They beat the New Orleans Pelicans 105-97. Henry Ellenson, the third-year Piston, looked a lot better. 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists, but most importantly was a little bit more efficient as the shots fell a little bit better. And he looked good, and he should look good. He's one of the best players out in Las Vegas and should be going into his third year after being a first-round draft pick for the Pistons. He pushed the ball in transition a bunch in the first half, going coast-to-coast, getting some buckets. And then 12 points apiece for the rookies, the second-round picks, Kyrie Thomas and Bruce Brown, who were efficient without a whole lot of field goals attempted for either of them. Brown's day included going 8-for-8 on the day from the foul line. Other highlights for the Pistons included Reggie Hearn knocking down 3 three-pointers and scoring 9 points. We'll talk to James a little bit about the Northwestern product during our interview with James Edwards. And the whole team, the Pistons, the veterans, were basically courtside after they arrived in the first half. The guys are apparently doing team workouts this summer in Vegas, just like they did last year in preparation for the season. So good to see everyone getting along and becoming friends and becoming the close-knit group that hopefully they were last year as well. And obviously that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is playing well and getting W's on the basketball court. But obviously it can't hurt to have the guys in cahoots and to start the team chemistry and all that good stuff. And hopefully they're having a good time in Vegas. Hopefully not maybe too good of a time though there. So Andre and Blake, a lot of play on NBA TV, I'm sorry, ESPNU actually, and also on social media, as well as they kind of took over the NBA TV Twitter account and made it theirs for a little while. But the Pistons finished the Summer League regular season at 1-2 and now move on to postseason play in the Summer League. Seeding will be set after today's games, but the Pistons will have at least 2 more guaranteed games left, assuming they will play Wednesday, as they won't be getting a bye or anything like that. So we will see and pass that along tomorrow as far as what to look forward to with their next game. Around the league in Summer League, you also had the Malik Monk injury for the Charlotte Hornets on the final play of what was going to be his last game of Summer League, so a bummer for him. The broken thumb puts him out for a few weeks of offseason work and hampers the development of the second-year Kentucky guy, so too bad about that. But we will see how he recovers and if he's ready for the start of the season. You would assume so, but maybe could cut into his training camp time a little bit, and we will see there. Furkan Korkmaz, as we all expected, took Summer League by storm. It sounds like something, that name, Furkan Korkmaz, sounds like something that maybe I should edit out of the podcast after we're done here. But he's going crazy for the Philadelphia 76ers. He had 40 points the other day in their opener in Las Vegas against the Boston Celtics. Unreal performance, knocking down 8 three-pointers. And we wonder, obviously, will this be the start of a nice career for Furkan Korkmaz, or will it be kind of a hilarious footnote in Summer League history someday? Remember that time that Furkan Korkmaz, and who knows where that guy ever went, but he dropped 40 on the Celtics? That could be a story to remember someday in the Summer League annals and lair of great performances of the past. But next, we're going to be talking to James Edwards III, one of our favorites of The Athletic, after the break, about how his first experience in Vegas went on and off the court, the early impression from the rookies on the court, and also Dwayne Casey, who we got a chance to talk to, and had a nice article about him on the Athletic website, and James got to spend some time with him. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44 years old, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we've got reasonable rates. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. to find out more. The numbers have been really good so far in the summer, and I appreciate you guys staying with us with the Locked On Pistons podcast. And if you're a business that wants to lock in on these summer numbers, these summer rates, go ahead and do that. And maybe give it a little trial and see how that works as you look ahead to your fall plans and winter plans. You know how territorial us Michiganders are. If there's a Detroit product out there, we're going to buy it. So advertise it to basketball fans, young men out there here on Locked On Pistons, and I will be happy to do what I can to have your company get the results here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
And we are now being joined by James Edwards III of The Athletic from McCarran Airport. So doing great duty for us here on Locked On Pistons. He's gearing up for year two of the grind with the team. Also writes a little bit of the Detroit City FC stuff for The Athletic. And if you're a big sports fan in Detroit and you're listening to this podcast, you should definitely be subscribed to The Athletic, supporting good sports journalism. But James, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Appreciate you having me on, Matt. It's always good talking to you.
So you mentioned off mic here that this was your first time at Summer League and also your first time in Vegas. What are your thoughts on both of those?
Summer League's cool. Like, I always had me and my friends always talked about going and kind of doing that whole thing. And if you're a diehard basketball fan, as I know you are, and this audience is, if you ever get an opportunity to go out to Vegas for Summer League, it's literally like just one big AAU tournament. There's games nonstop. You can go from one gym to another. The gyms are like a couple hundred feet away. You don't even have to go outside. You get to, everybody's just walking around. I think I saw from former players like Rip Hamilton, Mike Bibby, the list goes on to current guys like Markelle Fultz was just standing around, Lonzo Ball, Chris Paul. So you really just, it's a big NBA kind of reunion in the summer. And for Las Vegas, it was actually better than I anticipated. I thought it would be kind of very LA-ish. If you've ever been to LA, it's not all it's hyped up to be. It's kind of a, how do I want to say it without offending people? It's not the cleanest city in the world, which I'm fine with. I just always had this vision that LA was the bright lights in Hollywood. But Vegas is actually pretty clean in the areas I was at downtown. It's obviously a tourist attraction, so they try to make it pretty. But a lot of stuff to do. It was just really hot. And I was there for 7 days, and I'm losing my voice. And knowing me, I'll probably get sick as I get ready to go on vacation here from this weather and time change and all that.
Did you find a little time to hit the tables or do a little bit of the tourist stuff while you were there?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the tables. That's not it's going to bring back bad, haunting memories. Yeah, no, it was fun. Yeah, my hotel had tables, and I actually got up pretty decently that first night I gambled, and then I got cocky, and let's just say that I lost that money and the money I came with. So.
A casualty. You got to have that extra few hundred to throw just in case the bottom falls out, or maybe even reach for another few hundred after that. But depending on where your limits go. But James, happy to have you on the beat for year two, and don't spend too much time in Vegas if that's how it's going to go. But you probably spent a lot of time with, you know, writers from around the league while you were there. I'm sure it's LeBron, yeah, and then Boogie to Golden State talk. Is there any buzz? We know Detroit, just kind of a vanilla franchise this past season, but with Dwayne Casey coming in, is there a little bit more buzz, would you say, from being around some of the national guys?
A little bit more buzz in regards to the Pistons?
Yeah, just is anybody talking about the Pistons maybe in a little bit more than maybe they had in the past year?
I didn't really get that. Because I cover the Pistons, there were conversations centered around the Pistons, but I didn't just like mosey in and hear people talking about Detroit. People have expectations. They think this is a playoff team, which is what they thought last year. I think for them to kind of get any buzz, they have to prove that they can even meet those expectations. And I just think that last year was a setback. Obviously, it was for different reasons than just on the floor play. Reggie Jackson gets hurt, as you know, and they do the big trade in the middle of the year. So there was other factors that played in other than just kind of losing games Well, I mean, other than having a full roster and losing games, I guess you would say they underachieved, but they also weren't at full strength. But no, there wasn't really too much chalk. There was more so, obviously, LeBron. And kind of like a lot of my coworkers that write for different teams in different cities across the Athletic platform, I had an opportunity to meet for the first time, and we kind of just got to know each other. Really, you're so surrounded by basketball, you're kind of just catching up with people that you know and talking about life, and maybe you'll talk about basketball here and there, but pretty much it's just catching up. But, I'm trying to think, what was the biggest buzz at Summer League? For that one night, what's the guy's name from Philly? I can't pronounce his name.
He had the 40 points the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest buzz. Obviously LeBron, but it was pretty chill. I didn't get too caught up in the buzz talk.
Now you spent some time with Dwayne Casey and had a nice article on the Athletic website about him, particularly with his connection with Japan from his days coaching out there. What was it like? What was the feel that you got from him being able to spend some time with Coach?
Oh, it's as evident as it is that of him taking this job with the Pistons. He has something to prove. He was a guy that, people may know this, and I wrote it in the story for the Athletic. He was a guy that was at Kentucky, his alma mater, an assistant coach, and was content there, was at one of the premier basketball programs in the nation, and obviously there was some type of scandal that went down. He was later found not responsible for, but by that time he already resigned and headed for Japan after a friend reached out, and he was totally content with that. He enjoyed coaching, he enjoyed kind of teaching the game to people, and it was obviously a foreign nation, so there was the fundamentals. It was really kind of at its essence just very an innocent experience, and then he got an opportunity under George Call to get to the NBA, and now he's at this point in his career where he's done a lot, he's an accomplished coach, but even through it all, there's still doubts around his name. He couldn't get past LeBron. He couldn't get the Raptors into the Eastern Conference or as Eastern Conference champion. So whether or not he should have been fired, that's up in the air. But I think inside he feels that situation and what happened last year was not necessarily his fault, and he wants to prove that he does belong in this league and that he is a coach that people can count on bringing it and having a team bring it each and every year.
And I don't want to spoil too much about your article, but what I found was the most interesting thing was that all the time he spent in Japan, I think about six seasons at the professional league there, had a bit of a language barrier, and how he had to deal with that and how that's kind of helped him going forward as a coach in the NBA back to there. But to talking on the court with the Pistons these last few days, Henry Ellenson, obviously the efficiency wasn't there for him in these first three games, but ended up with the counting stats in each game. How would you size up his time in Vegas through three games so far?
Yeah, it wasn't the best in terms of statistical analysis for Mr. Ellenson. He was, like you said, he missed a lot of jump shots. Defensively, I thought he was okay, but in his defense, he did go up against Jonathan Isaac and Jaren Jackson Jr. In his first two games, and even though those guys are younger than he is, those are top five picks. I believe Isaac was a top five pick. If not, he was right outside of it. And he had some struggles there. But I think the one thing with Henry is he is a work in progress. Like, he should be going into his senior season of college right now. He's a guy that probably should have went back to school. But, you saw some things there. There was a lot of times where Coach Sean Sweeney, the new assistant coach who was running the summer league team, they would run him a lot at kind of a point center, point forward situation. He was bringing the ball up. He showed off some moves that I didn't even see or know that he had before. But, I always knew he had a good handle. That was kind of the check mark on him coming in was a face-up four that could put the ball on the deck. But I think he's improved on that. He's improved his handle a little bit. There's still some tightening up he needs to do and some decision-making things he needs to improve in the open court. And when he's attacking the basket, sometimes he gets tunnel vision. But he's a work in progress still. I think the one thing for him, and Casey's been talking about this with all the young guys, is he's going to give them an opportunity. He's going to give them enough rope to make mistakes and learn from him. And I think Henry needs to get consistent NBA minutes and figure out what he is and figure out kind of just the flow and the strength and the speed of the game on a consistent basis. So it wasn't a great first 3 days for him. I thought he played a lot better today. He was knocking down jump shots. His he was getting to the hole and driving to the lane, which kind of opened up his jump shot. He just needs to kind of put it all together and just be a little bit more cleaner with his game.
And Kyrie Thomas and Bruce Brown, the second round picks for the Pistons, seemed pretty much as advertised. I thought Bruce maybe had a little bit more all around offense, and Thomas showed that he knows how to find the corner there and stick it from three when he's open. Is there anything that surprised you about those guys that stood out positively or negatively for those two?
I mean, like you said, there was advertised, but Bruce Brown was a guy you hear about him being a good rebounding guard, and just watching him, he attacks the glass when every shot is up, and you don't really see that too much from guys in the NBA, especially at the guard position. And pretty much every time I was watching him as a shot went up, he was creeping in the paint to try to get a board. But that, I mean, like you said, that kind of came as advertised. But I also don't think he's as bad of a shooter as he was made out to be. I know it's summer league, and I know he's not going against NBA guys per se, but I thought his jump shot looked a little bit better than I anticipated. I thought he shot it with confidence. I think he had a good rhythm. I don't know his numbers. I don't think he shot extremely well from three, but I don't think he shot terribly. And I just like the way he shoots. I like the way he plays. I like the way he shoots with confidence. And I think he's going to be a guy that's going to get some time. Probably very minimal, but I think there'll be times when he's thrown in there. And then Kyrie, he's a ball hawk. To me, he's a bigger Avery Bradley with a better handle. He's not as explosive going to the rim. He's a bigger guy. He has good size. He's just not the fastest yet. Then he's not the best leaper in terms of getting from the ground to the rim quickly. He had three drives today, where he got to the rim, and they were great moves. It's just one he missed. He didn't get up and kind of go with an explosiveness needed to finish. The other one, I think he missed a dunk, but got fouled, and then I think he finished one of them. But he's a guy that I think has the tools to be really, really good. If he's able to put it all together and kind of add a little bit more athleticism to his game, whether it's a little bit more explosiveness when at the hoop, I think he's going to be a pretty good player. But his jump shot, like you said, when he made them, I don't even think they were touching rim.
James Edwards III of The Athletic here. I'll put you on the spot for one question here, James. All the other guys that we haven't talked about yet, if you had to pick one of the other players that the Pistons had these last 3 days with that final two-way spot alongside Keenan Evans, position need aside for the Pistons, who would it be? Would it be Lofton, Griffin, Drew? Those guys put up numbers. You had the story on Reggie Hearn, who was the two-way guy last year. Who would you pick if you had to pick one of those guys?
I think it'd be Reggie Hearn, no doubt. We talked about this on Press Row and throughout our week there in Detroit or in Las Vegas. That team really needed Luke Kennard. That team was not the best put together team. I think they had some guys that had been around for a while in terms of G League and international, but they weren't really guys that could make differences on the floor. Reggie Hearn to me is the only one that has a NBA skill. He's a 3-point shooter. He was one of the best 3-point shooters in the G League. He has pretty good size. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if maybe they look elsewhere to fill that two-way deal. Reggie Hearn kind of did himself a service today. He played well, hit two or three threes, but he had kind of struggled before then. But I think of the guys around that team, I think Reggie Hearn's the one that's obviously already has NBA experience. He went to Northwestern. He's a bright guy. I talked to him multiple times in L.A., and he's just a guy that's always good to have a conversation with. And I think there's going to be a point where I don't know if he ever sticks in the NBA, but I think he could carve out a good career for himself overseas if the NBA doesn't work for him.
Well, James Edwards III, I appreciate you taking the time, and I hope you enjoy your vacation coming up. I had a lot of Detroit City FC stuff this summer, too, that you guys should check out. What's the rest of the summer bring before training camp gets going?
Yeah, nothing much, really. Like, I'm going to try to find stuff here and there. Hopefully I can get some guys on the phone and get some stories in between then. But as you know, once summer league's over, it's kind of the dead period. I guess August is really slow. September, the beginning of September, is really slow. So right now it's kind of just going to be rejuvenating, getting ready for the season, because it's going to be a long one. I think it's going to be an interesting one, especially for the Pistons. So it's now just a matter of recharging and making sure that I'm ready to go for when things get hectic.
Well, anytime you want to come on and fill some of the podcast minutes for the end of July and August, we would appreciate that too. So if you got anything you want to get off your chest these next couple of weeks, just let me know. Well, James Edwards through the Athletic.
Let me know.
Congratulations on a great year one with the Pistons. We've enjoyed reading your stuff. And like I said, if you're a big Pistons fan and you're not reading James' stuff, you don't have the subscription yet, you're missing out. It's the probably as far as the internet content that is based just on the web, it's the best stuff out there. And we appreciate your time today.
Man, I really appreciate that, Matt. It means a lot. Thanks for the support and keep doing great stuff, man. I enjoy your work as well.
Thanks again to James Edwards III of The Athletic, taking the time at the airport as he's about to board the flight and head back east here to Detroit on the friendly skies. But the only thing I don't like about James Edwards III is he's younger than me and he's better than me as a guy in the journalism field. So you never want to see those younger writers who are better than you. So he's kind of one of those guys that said, maybe I should just try podcasting instead and see how that goes. But thanks again to James. Continue to follow his work on the Athletic website and also on Twitter. You can find him there as well. JL Edwards III, I believe, is the Twitter account for him as I look this up. But you should definitely check us out on Twitter as well at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And then give us a follow on the Locked On Pistons account at Locked On Pistons. And also, like I said, James Edwards III, J-L Edwards, and then three I's. So after that, you'll find him. You can find him on there. And also on Facebook, give us a like at Locked On Pistons-Matt Schoch, and give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. So we'll be back later this week to talk some more Summer League and whatever else comes up with the Pistons as we have the final week here of Summer League action before the summer really hits and we're looking for content. And if you have any ideas or particular interviews you want to hear about or things that we should do, we'll do some breakdowns. We'll get a little bit deeper of a dive into some of the players on the Pistons as we head into the season. We'll also go back in the past a little bit and talk to some of the legends. We'll got a couple other guys lined up that you'll enjoy as well. Looking forward to doing those interviews. But like I said, if you have anything else that you want to request or maybe you want, whatever you want to hear about Pistons content this summer, some lists, maybe we can do some legends talk or something like that, whatever you want to hear, just shoot me an email at matt_schoch@yahoo.com or reach out to me on social media and let me know what you think. So thanks for listening here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Schoch. Enjoy the day. And like Rashid says, if it ain't rough, it ain't right.